13. And if you, I'm not feeling sick. And I've had drainage. And she could call it cold or whatever. But it's leaving, even though I may not sound too good. But I've never been a person to complain. And I guess I take after our mother. Our mother had a lot of problems, and she never complained. One time, as she'd had a stroke, was in the hospital. She couldn't see. And they brought her food in and put it on that table, and it was at the end of her bed. And I come in to see her, and I says, "How come you haven't ate?" She says, "I didn't even know I had any food." So I pulled it around, took cover off, told her where everything was at, and she started eating, and I went down to the nurse station. And I said, "You have to let her know it's there. She can't see. You tell her, open it up, tell her where everything's at, she'll take care of herself." But she never complained. And I guess I got that from her. Matthew chapter 14, we want to begin reading in verse 22. Says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the water. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he was walking on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.' And when they were gone over, they came into the land of the Gennesarets. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." We see in these verses, this is after the Lord had fed the 5,000, he sent them away, and he purposely sent his disciples in the ship to cross the sea. And he is preparing them for this. And what we see in these verses is we want to consider this morning the storms of life. We have many storms in life. And we don't know from day to day what storm will come into our life. But the Lord has prepared those things for us. And as we see, as we shall see in these verses, the Lord sent the disciples ahead knowing what was going to take place, and he showed up at the right time. This is one thing we need to remember during the storms of life. The Lord is always there. And he's always there at the right time. And nothing is a mistake with the Lord. You know, in life we hear of accidents and natural disasters. And several times yesterday or we're asked, people knowing we live in Kentucky, if, you know, the floods, if we're affected by floods. The floods are in eastern Kentucky and we live in western Kentucky. That doesn't mean we haven't had rain. But when we hear of things like this, again, many times people don't think in the spiritual sense. It's always, you know, in the material sense. And it's good sometimes. No, Tennessee's had some of these floods. And when we watch the news, we get Tennessee news. And it's good every time, from time to time, to hear people who have sometimes lost everything they have, including family members, giving God praise. It's hard to do. But as we see in these storms that come into our life, we need to recognize who's in charge. And this is what we see, first of all, then. Jesus preparing his disciples for this time. In verses 22 and 23, and it says, again, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to go into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone." You know, there's many things in the scripture that is puzzling to us. And one of these is the many times that Jesus went off by himself and prayed. And Jesus prayed for hours. I've never been able to pray for hours, mainly because I'm in this old human body, and many times when we begin to pray, our minds will begin to wander. But the Lord went up there and prayed. Doesn't tell us what he prayed for, but it's no doubt to me that he was praying for those disciples in that ship, because he knew what was ahead of them. And he knew that he was going to be walking on that water to them and preparing them for this problem. But he had just performed a miracle here. He fed 5,000 people. And he sent them away and sent the disciples to the ship. Now when it says he constrained them, it means he compelled them. And have you ever been compelled to do something? Those of us who served in the military, there was times we were compelled to do things. And it wasn't always you wanted to do them, but you had to. Well, this is kind of what we see with the disciples. It appears to me maybe the disciples wanted to stay with him. But he compelled them to go in that ship and to cross that sea, knowing that this storm was going to come upon them. But also, as he sent them, overall he was going to show them, as the Creator, he has control over the weather. And though I wish there were many people in the world today that realize who controls the weather. You know, about 3 years ago, when we had a lot of hurricanes, some of the liberals were blaming Donald Trump for the hurricanes. And he's never made a hurricane, weather-wise. The Lord sends those. And I remember back about 4 months ago, they were saying we're going to have one of the worst hurricane seasons that we've had in years because of climate change. I think there's only been one this year. Of course, I know the season's not over yet. But God is in charge of these things. He's in charge of all these storms that come into our life. And You know, we look back in Matthew chapter 6 for a moment. Matthew chapter 6 and beginning in verse 6. Says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for ye think that ye shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. That's very important that we understand this. God knows what we need before we even ask. And with the disciples here, you know, they wanted to stay back with Jesus. Doesn't tell us that, but we can see that with him compelling them to go. He went up, and I believe he prayed for them. He knew what they needed. The Lord knows what we need. Now, what follows there is what many people call the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer. And repeating this prayer or model prayer doesn't really help you just to repeat that. But if you look at what he's saying here, when he says, and after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What we do in prayer, we recognize who we're praying to. He says, give us this day, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In other words, again, it's God who is in control. With storms, trials, tribulations, whatever you want to call them, when they come our way, God's in charge. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. Do people really realize what he's saying there? You know, what's most people say? Forgive me of my sins. But is there any specific thing you're talking about? What about all the evil thoughts that have gone through your mind? What about all the evil things you've desired to do? Those are all sins. But just to set out a blanket word that, you know, forgive me of my sins. But what he's saying here, forgive me my sins, that what? That I might forgive those who've sinned against me. I've known people in my life, some of them relatives, will hold grudges for years. There's no forgiveness in that. But again, he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and the glory forever. Again, recognizing who is in charge. Who's in charge? And this is what the disciples, when they first got in that ship, They weren't thinking about a storm coming up. They weren't thinking about the boisterous wind. And what we understand, you know, the winds in where the storm was so that the ship wasn't moving until Jesus calmed the seas. But as he went up into the mountain to pray, and then we see again in verse 24, it says, and the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. As we got the ship in, one time, when I don't know exactly how old I was, I went down to Kegel Harbor. We had our Uncle Kenneth lived there. And we went out. I went with my Uncle Kenneth and my dad out on a lake. And there was a storm come up. I mean, this is a small inland lake, and the waves were like 10 foot tall. It looked like big white caps coming in. And Uncle Kenneth cranked that motor as high as he could, and it went, and the boat went sideways. And we land, blew us up on a shoreline, and there was a Jewish camp there. And we had no control over that storm. It's one of those things you kind of look back on in life and you say, the Lord saved our life. And but, you know, that here, the disciples, they had no control over the wind. They had no control over the waves. Their boat was not going anywhere. But it says, and in the fourth watch of the night, that's about midnight, Jesus went unto them walking on the water. Now, as he approached them, and many times we, in storms in life, we see this, you know, we don't see the Lord's hand many times. And you can't say it's too late, but soon enough. He says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. You know, here's Jesus, whom they had just witnessed, feeding 5,000. Jesus, whom they had accompanied with. And he's walking on the water in the midst of the storm, and they think it's a spirit coming unto them. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Has there not been many times in the times of crisis in our life that we've heard or felt, however you want to put it, the presence of the Lord saying, be of good cheer, it is I. There's times, you know, 4 years ago, about this time, I was getting ready to for Wednesday night service, and I had just gotten dressed, and I was getting ready to walk out the door to go over to my study. Phone rang, Veterans Hospital. Get to the hospital right now. Don't drive. Well, it wasn't a whole lot of explanation. Well, Linda, she's not going to drive in Nashville. So I drove. I didn't tell them. They didn't ask. But I've been having heart rate problems, and they'd put a monitor on me. And my heart rate would go down to 30. And on three occasions, it went up over 270. Ended up 9 days in the hospital. But when you first hear those words, you know, it kind of hits your flesh. Okay, what's the matter? Why are they telling me? Someone who hadn't spent a day in the hospital since they was 8 years old. Why am I going to the hospital? I just go visit other people. Well, I got about 10 miles down the road. And I said, Lord, it's in your hands. And I was calm. He took care of the storm. I mean, there was a lot of waves that come along in those 9 days. But he took care of the storm. And this is what we see, you know, okay, it's a spirit. But Jesus said, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And we find Peter here. Peter says, answered him, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, you know, Peter seemed to be the first one that says, okay. But look at the doubt in his language to start with. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee. Now, was there some doubt there? When we face things in life, aren't there some times that we face them with doubts, even though we call in the name of the Lord? We shouldn't, but we do. There's doubts. But the Lord said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to see Jesus. So when Jesus answered, when Jesus responded, come, Peter didn't hesitate then. He got out of that ship and he was walking on the water. I don't know if you've ever heard people before, but I've heard in them trying to, in one way, build up the Lord Jesus Christ, say, well, the only one that ever walked on water was Jesus. No, Peter walked on water. Peter walked on water here. Why did he walk on water? And this is in the midst of the storm. Why did Peter walk in the water? Because he believed Jesus' word. We need to believe Jesus' word. We need to believe the word of God in the time of troubles. And we see trouble or storms aren't necessarily wind storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, and so forth. Many times, storms are things that God puts us to test with. Let's look over in Hebrews for a moment, in chapter 11. We have here the account, telling about the account of Abraham offering Isaac upon the mountain. And remember back there when the Lord come to Abraham and told him to take his son, Isaac, the seed of promise, to a mountain that he would show him and to sacrifice him. Verse 17 here it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises of offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in like figure. You know, remember in Abraham's life, God had told him and Sarah that he would give them a child. And Sarah tried to get ahead of the program because she had been barren and had him go to his handmaid, and Ishmael was born. And God said, Ishmael is not the seed of promise. Sarah shall bear you a child. And in their old age, Isaac was born. And from what I understand, Isaac was about 26 years old when God told Abraham to take him and sacrifice him. Now, I've got a grandson that's 26. And I could imagine if someone tried to sacrifice him, it wouldn't be just go along, you know. But Isaac, again, we think of the faith of Abraham, but think of the faith of Isaac. When they got to the base of that mountain, and Isaac looked at his father and he said, here's the fire and here's wood. Where's the sacrifice? And what was Abraham's response? God will provide himself with a lamb. So they went up. And as they were going up, Abraham told his servants, I and the lad will return. And he puts his son on that altar, ties him down, and as his knife drawn, there's a ram caught in a thicket. This was a trial. God put Abraham's faith to a test. And there are those type of storms that come into our life, trials and tribulations. You know, many times we may sit back and we say, we don't understand. We may not understand, but we have the same God in charge. The same one who has allowed that to come into our life is the one who will help us solve those problems. And if we are all honest, There's been many testings that have come into our life that we've flubbed up on because we haven't taken them to the Lord. And remember, there's nothing that comes about in our life that He doesn't know about, that He hasn't allowed to come into our life. And again, in Abraham's case here, it says, by faith, Abraham offered up his son. And as we said, you can likewise put in that, and by faith, Abraham went up, or Isaac went up on that mountain with his father. But Abraham's faith was that if God commanded him to sacrifice Isaac, that He was going to raise him from the dead in like figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God said that through your seed, which is Isaac, will the promise come. We know in the book of Galatians it tells us that seed was Christ. In Peter's request to meet Jesus on the water was granted. Come. But as Peter was walking on that water, we see that his faith failed. It says, and he came, said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Here was Peter, who was the only one. Remember, there's 12 apostles at this time. He's the only one that said, Lord, if it be you, let me walk on the water. But then as he gets out walking on the water and he looks, here's, you know, giant waves here and giant waves there. And Jesus is there, but he looks here and he looks there and he begins to sink. But what did he do when he began to sink? He cried. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. You know, when we get in the midst of a storm or midst of a trial or tribulation, and we take our eyes off the Lord and we begin to sink, what do we need to do? Get our eyes back on the Lord, like Peter did. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. In the midst of storms, Jesus announced Himself to His disciples. He announced Himself. And the Lord is always near. You know, back in the Psalms, it says that He's an ever present help in the time of need. Do we have needs? You know, some things that people think are needs are just wants. But we have needs. We have physical needs. We do have monetary needs. We do have health needs. And we have storms and crises in all of those. Who do we call upon in the time of need? We call upon the Lord. And again, as Peter started out fine there until he took his eyes off the Lord. And after Peter began to sink, and the Lord says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You see what happens when we begin to sink in the midst of a storm? We have little faith. As storms come into our life, our faith ought to increase. We ought to gain strength. And as we call upon the Lord in the time of trouble, as we bring those situations before Him, and where we fail many times is we may spit out words in the time, but we, at the same time, we're doubting. We're doubting that the Lord's going to take care of that. We should never pray or ask for the Lord's help with doubt in our mind. Peter didn't have any doubt until he took his eyes off the Lord. Then he began to sink. But the Lord, as we see, as the says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. The wind ceased. As soon as Jesus came into the ship, the winds ceased. And then what did the disciples do? It says, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying of a truth, thou art the Son of God. What's this telling us? When a crisis, a storm, is when the Lord has ended that, what do we need to do? Give him thanks. Not just give him thanks, but keep in our hearts and minds who took care of that for us. Because the next time a storm or a like storm comes along, it should be fresh in our mind who to call upon, who to depend upon. But you know, as these verses end, as they got safely across the sea, we find in verses 35 and 36, says, and when the men of that place had known of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. Now, what is here is it's not just that they may have thought or had seen the storm and then it healed or ceased. I'm not sure that they even knew that Jesus came to the and calmed the storm there. But his fame, Jesus is here. And his fame reached those in the area. And what did they do? It says, and brought him they that might that he might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Okay, here was many people. They had many problems, many types of diseases. Doesn't tell us what they were. But we know during his earthly ministry, the Lord, he healed the lame. He healed the blind. He healed the deaf. He healed the crippled. He healed those who had demons within them. We don't know exactly what all these people had, but the fame of Jesus had reached the shore. And they sent into the countryside for everyone who was sick, everyone who had a crisis. And like the woman who had the issue of blood and thought that if I just touch the hem of his garment, these folks here came believing if they just touched the hem of his garment, they could be healed. Excuse me. That's telling us, I believe, in one sense, no matter how big the problem or how small the problem, we need to reach out and touch the Lord in the time of trouble. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. He's dependable. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our Master. And He does have control in this world. And I laugh many times when I hear these climate change individuals talking about, you know, down our way they talk about how that the, you know, Tornado Alley is shifted south. Well, there have always been tornadoes that have gone through Kentucky and Tennessee. There's always been tornadoes that have gone through Oklahoma and Kansas and Missouri and Illinois. And there will continue. Weather change hasn't got anything to do with it. There have always been hurricanes. Climate change has nothing to do with it. I've got a book that was written. I forget the man's name now. He's part of the Institute for Creation Research. That he, in that little booklet, he goes through the climate changes through the centuries. We go through cycles. There's cycles of heat and there's cycles of cold. And who's in charge? God. He's in charge. And God's not a politician. But politicians keep all this stuff steamed up to buy votes. But God's in charge. The Lord is always there in the time of trouble. Just thank you, brother.